Good morning. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 15 this morning, if you'd like to turn there with me. I will shorten up the reading a bit so you can be seated. I will start at verse 22 through verse 26. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 26. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Please pray with me. Our gracious Father, we come to you this morning in need of hearing your word. Lord, we know your word is truth, and we long for your mind on this particular subject. We ask now that you will bless the preaching of your word. I ask that ears will be open and hearts will be soft, and that your people will be comforted by your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The last time I was here was late June, and I preached on being strong and courageous in the face of God's enemies. That sermon was basically focused at human enemies or earthly enemies. If you'll remember, we talked about Joshua defending the Gibeonites and taking on the armies of the 10 kings. But if you'll remember, he didn't have to do much. He basically chased them down the hill while God rolled big stones on them from heaven, crushing them. And then later we talked about David going up against Goliath. And again, David participated, but the victory was truly God's. So I wrote another sermon that goes after that one, but I won't be doing that this morning. It was on Christians' duty and civil disobedience. I just didn't think today was the day for that one. One of my children reminded me on the drive down that I promised last time in Q&A that I would teach on angels the next time I came down. This is not that sermon either. Our kids great. They have great memories. But I'm going to continue on the theme from last time. Enemies of God's people. And how do we respond to them? You see, because our ultimate enemy was mentioned in this passage. Our ultimate enemy is death here on this earth. It is what we struggle against. Our sin in Adam brought death. This one is a mighty foe. Cruel, unrelenting, merciless. It makes us tremble in the night. This one we are afraid of. And for good reason. This enemy will take your sons and your daughters. It will take your fathers and your mothers. It will take your husbands and your wives. Every soul in this room will face that enemy. A have a few personal experiences to share with you. This morning's prayer time was already rough. We'll see if I can get through this. But I'm going to guess that my experiences are similar to your own. You will hear your life story and some of my life story. But I want to illustrate how death operates. A few years ago, my wife and I were thrilled to find out we were expecting. Everything was going well in the pregnancy. We'd had a visit with the midwife. We'd heard the heartbeat. Everything was right on track. We'd been down this road before. But this one was going to be a little different. For the next midwife visit, the midwife became concerned and was having difficulty finding a heartbeat. And so she sent us for an ultrasound, which confirmed that our little one had passed. It was heartbreaking. But then we had to wait for his arrival. Sin is very powerful. The cries of a mother giving birth to a dead son is about all one should have to ever face. But we, knowing the power of the gospel and the promise of the resurrection, rejoiced in God's promises to this little man. And we buried him. And we rejoiced in the time that we got with him. Our next experience was about a year ago. One of the toughest men I have ever met. When people use the phrase tough as nails, this guy was tougher than that. This was Kim's dad. He had lived a pretty hard life, been pretty rough in his younger days. He carried the scars of a few beer bottles on his face. So he was that kind of tough. But he was a fantastic grandfather. Very gentle and loving to his grandchildren. Would do anything for him. This guy would literally give you the shirt off his back. Or a Chevy 350 engine that he just happened to have sitting in the shed out back. But he developed cancer. And didn't tell any of us. He'd had it for a couple years. Doctor suggested he'd been in great pain for a long time. He never let on. And then when he got too sick to drive, I became concerned. I thought, really? Larry, not driving? Just didn't make sense. And then he was here for a wedding when Sam and Laura got married. Not driving still. But they were going to Florida for vacation. They were going to be down there for, I don't remember, several months. After the wedding, they made it to Florida, but they were only there for a short time. And he came home because he wasn't feeling well. Again, this is a guy that never complained. And he died shortly after getting home. When the doctors opened him up, he was full of cancer. His intestines had been shut down for some time. I'm really not sure how he was getting around. And he was my father-in-law. And I bawled like a baby. And it broke my heart to see him sapped of his strength. And then recently, someone I consider a father in the faith who lived a good long life. He was 83, somewhere around where your father's 82, yeah. So 70 and then some if you're stronger, right? This guy was really amazing. Some of you may have met him. His name was Robert LeMay. He was raised in Brooklyn. He sounded like Bugs Bunny. He had that accent. Back when Providence Church was small, 3 or 4 families, just a handful really, our denomination said, hey, you know what? We have somebody who could pastor your church for a while. And he came in and he was great. But as the years went by, his health failed. He had had a heart attack earlier in his life before we knew him. And ended up having hips replaced. And he became quite feeble. And he was a big guy, had been a big guy, but he was kind of shrinking down and had trouble getting around. But we still brought him in to preach from time to time. And if you ever needed an example of the power of the Spirit, this guy would hobble up to the pulpit. And then he would start preaching. And he straightened up. And his voice got strong. And his words came quickly with power. And boy, could he preach. He'd been in the pulpit for over 50 years. When he prayed, you knew God was listening. And many times he'd prayed for the success of Providence Church. Whatever you consider success, we're still around. So I consider that a success. 3 days before I got the privilege of baptizing my grandson, again, those mercies and that grace, how they intertwine with the coming and going of life. But 3 days before I got to baptize Ryan, I made a somewhat treacherous drive to Iowa. Roads were not good. To see him for one last time. He was sedated. He was on a ventilator. And I got to pray with him a couple times. And, you know, he didn't get to talk back. But I got to spend time with his wife. And she is a joy. And I got to spend time with his children. His testimony was right there in front of me. His children were delightful, serving the Lord, scripture rolling off of their tongue in a very natural manner. It was just the way they talked. They were definitely the product of their father. And then we buried him the week after Ryan was baptized. And I tell you these stories because you have similar stories. And I know you're living one right now. And I know it's difficult. But as Marion was saying this morning, there is joy in this. For see, we don't face this enemy by ourselves. Just like Joshua didn't face his foes by himself. David didn't face his foes. Jesus has gone before us. You see, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, Paul says, "For I delivered unto you of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again third day, according to the Scriptures." Jesus faced our sins. And then He faced our death. The wages of our sin. He took that separation from God so that we wouldn't have to. He goes before us, defeating His and our enemies. There's a picture here in 1 Corinthians 15, and I don't want us to miss it. It's in 36 and through 38. And it says, "That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God gives it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed His own body." I want you to get this picture. You see, in death, God lays us down. He plants us. But just as any other farmer would know, that's not the end. Because when that seed is planted, God goes before us and He works a miracle. And He creates life. Death from life. It is the story of the gospel. We are translated from death to life. God is planting a garden with His saints. And one day, which 1 Corinthians 15 tells us about, one day He will raise that garden. In the Old Covenant, there was this concept of tithing the first fruits. So when your crops came in, you would take the first fruits and you would offer them as a sacrifice. But it was really a representative of the whole. It was those faithful saints saying to God, "I give this back to You. I know that You give me everything. And this is just a small portion that I'm giving You back as a representation that You own it all." But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ that is coming. And it's easy to get discouraged sometimes. I know it is. Remember, I said I bawled like a baby. And I heard my wife wail and mourn the death of Enoch. We sometimes focus on the death. But Paul tells us that that's not the end. That those earthly conditions will bring new life. He says, so also in the resurrection of the dead, it, the body, is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. I am looking forward to not having to deal with my own corruption, my own dishonor, and my own weakness. That's who we are without Christ. But since we are in Christ, we are raised in incorruption. We are raised in glory. We are raised in power. Death does not get the last laugh. Those of you who have ever received an email from me know I have a signature line that I really like. But I think it's fitting here. See, Satan and his minions, they didn't know the end of the story. When Jesus died, they thought they had him. Not even close, right? Not even close. They played right into his hand. That signature line goes something like this. The history of Christianity is a series of victories described and disguised as disasters, beginning with the cross. Death results in victory. The death of every believer shouts the triumph of Jesus over sin and death. Death is very postmillennial. It was very encouraging this morning during prayer time to hear all the testimonies. And I want to thank you for something. For a long time at Samaritan Ministries, we talked to people who are dealing with death all the time. And one of the verses that we go to when talking to somebody on the phone is from Psalm 116. It reads, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And people are comforted by that verse, and they should be. But if you're familiar with the passage, it's in kind of a strange spot. And I have long struggled with its placement within this particular psalm because it hasn't ever really made sense to me. Let's see. See how far I want to back up here. I'll just start at the top. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplication. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountiful with me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Then there's a bit of a transition here and says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. Precious is the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. So I couldn't figure out how this verse set in the context of people worshiping and praising God. And this morning, I got to experience it. We sat here this morning in the time of praise. We talked about Mr. Lovett. And the tears flowed. But we talked about the blessing he had been to individuals in this congregation. What a blessing he'd been to Marion and his family. You see, saints that finish well, the Lord is pleased with. They are his delight. And he blesses us with them. So I owe you thanks this morning for teaching me how that verse sits in context. As Marion said earlier today, it is a real paradox for the Christian that even at a time like this, there is joy. And it's not a superficial joy. It's not a, I'm being joyful to be distracted. We are overflowing with joy this morning that Mr. Lovett is worshiping with the saints in heaven this morning. It's an amazing thought. Now, a familiar passage for you. This is from Ecclesiastes. It says, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Made me think of that garden that God is planting. Time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. Time to mourn and a time to dance. So I'm here to tell you today that there is a time to mourn, and it is good and right to mourn. Romans tells us in chapter 12 to rejoice with them that do rejoice and to weep with them that weep. Some translations say mourn there. Mourn with them that mourn. So mourn. Mourn for your loss. Mourn well. But know that God promises you there will be a time to dance. There will be a time to dance. As Bert was saying this morning, Bill Lovett loved music. He's hearing it now, isn't he? There will be a time to dance with him in heaven. I will encourage you to find a time to dance to music here. I'll leave you with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Stand in the hope of the resurrection. This is the gospel promise. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that it tells us it is okay to mourn. It is okay to weep. And Lord, we are also thankful that your word tells us this morning that we stand on a sure hope that Jesus Christ burst into history and took our sin and died on the cross and defeated death. As will all those who are his at his coming. Lord, I pray now that these words will bring honor and glory to your name, and that they have encouraged your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.